Once again, it's really great to be back. I was on a medical leave for a few weeks, but after some time of rest, feel much, much better. Pray that my nose doesn't bleed again while I preach up here. We should be good, though. So thank you all for your kind words and the texts and phone calls and emails and many handwritten cards to myself and my family as we're out these past couple of weeks. It meant so much, and we are just so grateful for our Trinity family. So thank you all for the ways in which you showed your love and care for us. Today's Family Sunday, and I wanted to go ahead and move forward with the series that we have been working through until I was on leave, but we've been working through what we call the Apostles' Creed, and I'm going to actually stick with what I intended to preach and then kind of circle back for the last couple of messages, lest anyone get confused that we don't believe in like the third quarter or so of the Apostles' Creed. So I will circle back, but we're going to be hearing a message. I'll try to keep it relatively short on I believe in life everlasting. And we'll just start with two verses, Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. And we'll be looking at some other scriptures as well. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This is God's word. And so specifically, we're going to be reflecting together a little bit on the forgiveness of sins, looking at Apostles' Creed, the resurrection of the body, and specifically this phrase, and the life everlasting, amen. Life everlasting is what I want to spend a few minutes together reflecting on, because we often say that it's the last two words and then the amen to the Apostles' Creed, and we often in creeds and liturgy don't often take the time to really reflect on what exactly it's communicating to us. We are also in what we call a season of the church, which is called Eastertide. It's the period of 50 days from Easter Sunday, and it concludes actually next Sunday in what we call Pentecost Sunday, as depicted and preserved for us in the book of Acts. So it's actually the longest liturgical season of the church calendar. And so all this is very, very timely, and even this week in my studies and reflections, I was tremendously lifted up and blessed and fed by God's word as I reflected on this phrase, life everlasting. And since it's been almost a month, and once again, I appreciate all those that filled in the pulpit, Brian Wiley, Barb Ettinger, Pastor Theo, and then John DeValve last week. And so thank you all who preached the Word of God so faithfully during the past couple of Sundays. In going back and thinking about why in the world are we even going through something as maybe a little bit dry or boring as an ancient creed, we began the series with a statement, a declarative statement, that what you believe and how you believe it really does impact your life. And this phrase that I have never forgotten, even from my seminary years, out of your theology flows all of your life and practice. Out of your understanding of the Word of God, out of your understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, his mission, what he came to do, all that will impact how you live day by day, moment by moment, second by second in your life. Out of your theology, indeed, flows your life and your practice. And so that's why it is so important that if we have a summation of what we believe in, as captured by what we call the Apostles' Creed, that we really understand what exactly it's saying. And so over the first few weeks of that series, we talked about the phrase, what does it mean to believe in God? What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, talking about his divinity, his humanity. We talked about Jesus and the power of the cross, of him crucified, and that the crucifixion was really the day that the revolution began. It wasn't just a defeat, and they were waiting for Easter Sunday morning that we celebrated several weeks ago, but the cross was the beginning of the end. And having rose again from the grave, we spoke on Easter Sunday that it gives us an uncrushable hope in the midst of even the most challenging, darkest times that we go through in our lives. It gives us a supreme confidence, not trusting in ourselves, but in the God who conquered sin, the grave, and death. And now our healing has begun. And then on my, what I label my Bloody Nose Sunday, we had talked about the ascension of Christ. And what exactly that means? Is he just playing peekaboo with us until the second coming, his return? Or is there more to that phrase in the Apostles' Creed that he sent it up into the heavens, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? And we talked about what exactly that means. The theological word is a heavenly session, which means from the Latin, sessio, or sitting. It's when the rightful ruler takes the rightful place that is his on the throne to rule, to reign. It wasn't he just disappeared for a while and is just chilling, but he ascended and assumed his rightful power and authority, the right hand of his Father. And so those are some of the things that we looked at over the past couple of weeks when we journeyed through the Apostles' Creed. And so here we are, the phrase life everlasting, or sometimes we flip that around, eternal life. My question this morning is, what exactly comes to your mind when you hear those two words, eternal life, or life everlasting? And if you're anything like me, having grown up in probably the conservative evangelical Christian church and churches, you probably, like myself, have understood, and the first thing that often comes to your mind when we think about life everlasting or eternal life is about going to heaven after you die. If I'm wrong, then, you know, let me know. But I think for a lot of us, including myself, the very first understanding that comes to our mind is the place where we go after we physically die. Eternal life, life everlasting. And so often if that is our first go-to place when we think about the phrase life everlasting, eternal life, it shapes our entire understanding of the purpose and mission of the Christian life, of evangelism, of worship, of discipleship. And we then respond by understanding Christianity as making sure we get the right answers when we stand before God at the pearly gates. And many of you, like myself, are familiar, and this may date me a little bit, but something called Evangelism Explosion, which was an evangelism course out of Florida, Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Actually, it was my former denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America, by Pastor D. James Kennedy. So I'm very familiar with the course, and I was certified in it, and many, many trips to the different neighborhoods that I lived in at the time, knocking on doors, going to the shopping mall, walking in the park, and had been trained in what we call the two questions. you guys may be familiar with it. And it's these. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for sure if you die today that you would be in heaven? And the second, what we call diagnostic question of this very well-known course, Evangelism Explosion, is suppose something were to happen and you did die today and stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And so once again, I was certified in this course. I spent many an evangelism encounter, knocking on doors, shopping malls. And there were some that when you ask, excuse me, do you have time? Can I ask you one or two quick questions? Sure. If you were to die today, dude, what are you going to do? And they would run out of fear that I was going to do something to them. So it was traumatic for me as well. Right? It's very bizarre. Think about it. If you were to die today, right, and stand before God, oh my gosh, are you going to do something to me? I mean, really weird if you think about it. But decades ago, this was all the rage in all the churches, and many of you are familiar with this. And it makes sense that if life everlasting or eternal life is only about what happens to you when you die and when you stand before God at the pearly gates, will you have the right answers to unclick the locks and the gates open? Oh, you got the right answer. Come on in. And I think there is a great danger when we think of eternal life as something that we achieve when we get the right answers, you believe the right things, then the pearly gates will open for you based upon one of the most popular evangelism courses in America, and it went global based on these two diagnostic questions. What are you going to say to God? Why should I let you into my heaven? And though I believe God has used this course and has used it in my life and have led people to Christ through it, I don't want to knock it all, because I think every generation God rises up different tools and instruments and studies. And you think about the Alpha course, and each generation God raises up different tools, instruments, and ministries to accomplish his purposes. But I think there is a danger thinking that the gospel is just about getting the right answer so that the pearly gates will open if you were to die, when you die, and stand before God so that it can be opened up. Pastor Andy Stanley down in Atlanta reflected on some of the negative impacts of thinking of eternal life in this way, and this is tough to hear, but he says that many people would define Christians as moralistic, homophobic, anti-science, judgmental bigots who don't believe in dinosaurs, who do believe that they are the only ones who are going to heaven, and secretly relish the idea that everyone else is going to hell. Ouch. Pastor Andy Stanley, who is known for a lot of his very strong statements, but I think he gets a point across. And the question, as we think about our understanding of eternal life and life everlasting, is, have we so shrunken and diminished the gospel of the kingdom to make it solely about just going to heaven when you die? Because if you do that, you have shrunken the gospel, you have shrunken God and his kingdom, and yet so many of us, that is our understanding of life everlasting, of eternal life. And I hope that I've communicated some of the concerns when that is the only way we think about eternal life. I'm not saying this morning there aren't eternal implications of how we respond to the gospel and to Jesus. I believe that a clarion call to repent and believe and turn from your sin and run to Jesus and trust in him today is critically important, 100% for sure. But as we reflect on the very last two words or three words of the Apostles' Creed, life everlasting. Is it referring primarily to a life that just goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever? And so let me share some thoughts and reflections and some scripture for us to be able to kind of be challenged and stretched a bit when we think about the phrase eternal life. The primary word for salvation in the NT, the New Testament, is the word life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have what? Life, and have it abundantly. 1 John 5:12, a very familiar passage for a lot of us, a verse. Whoever has a son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so there's two ways we can understand the word life: bios, which is our biological existence, our heart beating, our physical life. But there's also zoe, this idea that it is the very fullness of life when God is at the center. And I believe that Jesus is reflecting and talking about this zoe life. Theologian Pastor Alice McGrath says this: we are not being offered an endless extension of our biological existence, but rather a transformation of that experience. Eternal life can't just be limited to thinking about this bios life that just continues on and on and on, but it's talking about a life that God Himself gives to us that cannot be thwarted even by death itself. It's not just something in a potential future, and that's the danger of this evangelism explosion, that it's basically fire insurance for when we stand before God in the pearly gates. Will we have the right answer so He lets us in? But there's no bearing on our life today. That is not the gospel that Jesus talked about. And if that is our understanding, we are missing out big time. And I believe it is tragic. John 17:3, Jesus' discourse before He went to the cross. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Eternal life means knowing God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about fire insurance so that the pearly gates will open for some time after you die in the future. But Jesus is talking about a kind of life of quality, not just quantity, that He offers to us. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life, and life in all its fullness, life in its abundance, abundantly. Paul reflects on this and talks about this. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And it is Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. We can experience this eternal life, this life everlasting today. It's not just something for the future when our physical life ends, as we think about even the woman at the well who was longing for a love and a life through all her brokenness and pain and betrayal. And Jesus offers her a kind of water that the world could not satisfy, eternal life. It's not just about the future after we die, But life everlasting is about today. Dallas Willard reflects on this, and he says this: eternal life in the individual does not begin after death, but at the point where God touches the individual with redeeming grace and draws them into a life interactive with himself and his kingdom. And every time that he taught at Westmont College, he began with this phrase: eternity is now in session. Eternity is now in session. What is Jesus referring to when he shouts out in John 7, the last day of the feast? Jesus stood up and the word cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his belly, will flow rivers of living water." There is a kind of life that Jesus offers you and I and the entire world that isn't just something when we get to the pearly gates, but can begin today. Life eternal is Zoe life. John Ortberg, in his book, Eternity is Now in Session, that I had my chance to work through these past couple of weeks, I love what he says here. Jesus taught much more about how to get to heaven into us than going to heaven after we die. Heaven is not about relocation, it's about transformation. It's about heaven getting into us rather than changing our address alone after death. He taught more about getting heaven into us than going to heaven after we die. And so because of time, I'm going to pause there, but I hope that that will help you reflect a bit more as we think about everlasting life, life eternal. What does that mean? Has it solely just been about the fire insurance or learning the right things so that those gates will open for us when we stand before God after death? Or is there really a kind of life that God offers you and I, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren today that we can experience that taste of a kind of life that Jesus calls the abundant life that is transformative, that gives us a taste of himself and heaven, and will continue to grow as it transforms us to become more and more like him. This is something that I myself have forgotten about, and I hope and pray that you will park yourself for a few moments to think, am I experiencing this eternal life today? If Jesus is real and he lives inside of me, what kind of life am I experiencing today? He wants so much to transform us, to give us a taste of his very own Zoe life. This is what Jesus is talking about, and it's a life that begins when we trust in him. And it continues to grow and grow and grow. And one day, yes, it will be fully complete when we see him face to face. It's not just about a non-ceasing life after physical death, but it's a kind of life of such quality and joy and passion and power that Jesus describes it. Like a river flowing out of him that brings life to everyone that we encounter. This is the everlasting life that Jesus desires for all the world to experience in him. Amen. Amen. No bloody nose. Praise God. Let's pray together as we get ready for celebrating the Lord's Supper. Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord, I know that there are a lot of us here that have not really thought about the impact and right understanding of eternal life. And we, Lord, have boxed it out as only something to experience once we get to heaven. But Jesus, you have brought heaven down to us when you came. And you offer everlasting life of a caliber and quality that the world is hungry and thirsty for. Thank you that through your broken body and through your shed blood, that we by faith can experience eternal life even today. And so, thank you for reminding us that to know you is eternal life. A life once begun cannot be thwarted even by death itself. Lord, grow that life in us today. And may that eternal life continue to overwhelm us and carry us through some of life's most challenging situations and wounds and discouragements that all of us go through each day of our lives. We thank you for your gracious offer, and we run to the table that we can once again be reminded of the life everlasting you give to us today. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we'll invite you forward. Here at Trinity, we do invite you forward, and we will place the elements into your hands, and we always have prayer at the end of both stages. For anyone that has questions, that would like to be prayed for, that would like a word of encouragement, we want to invite you forward as we do that. And as we come to the table, and as we have one final week of what we call Eastertide season, as we prepare for Pentecost Sunday, I pray that you will be strengthened and be reminded that you have experienced life eternal already, and come and be renewed and anchored in the midst of your storms in your life. And so, how appropriate as we rise and as we together recite the ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed, and keep that in mind when we get to those last two to three words, what that is, and shout that out to the Lord as we desire more of his life in us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Now hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Apostle Paul on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." And so this is the Lord's table, and it is Jesus himself who invites you to this meal to once again experience the life everlasting, the Zoe life that he desires to give for you today. You don't just have to wait till after you die to experience life eternal, but by faith, as we come to Jesus, we experience that life today. And this is why we come to the table together. If you are not able to come forward, just raise your hand, and our ushers will be able to bring you the elements to wherever you are seated. And so we will invite you from the front to the back as you're invited to come and partake of the feast of heaven as we experience life eternal in Jesus Christ. If I can invite our service forward at this time as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.